Welcome to House Seats Presents. We are here live with Tina Walsh. Woo! It's our post-Valentine's Day spectacular. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed my Valentine's Day immensely. We just did Netflix, so we avoided the crowds at restaurants and whatnot last night. What did you do for Valentine's Day, Tina?
I did my wash.
There you go. See? See how we're here today. We're celebrating Valentine's. We're celebrating all things Jubilee. All things showgirl, all things everything. We're actually having some rum again today. We have our famous Venezuelan rum here. Oh, it goes down smooth.
It's delicious.
We're talking before the show actually about Jubilee, about entertainment in Vegas as a whole, about Tina's life experience in China and going to a rum bar in Shanghai. We have a lot to talk about, so we're going to get right to it. How's that?
Great.
So at the top of the show, we always do sort of a weekend roundup. And the weekend for us could be mean many things, because obviously a weekend in Vegas could be, you know, on a Wednesday. So, and that actually happened for us. Yeah, I know. We had quite a wild weekend ourselves. My fiance Jason is out there. Hi. We have a nice little lively audience out there. Hi, audience. There we go. Nice. There we go. He went to Britney Spears. Yes. Have
really?
You seen that show?
No.
Yeah. Oh, see? She's jealous.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. That was your sixth time seeing the show? Fifth time seeing the show.
Oh,
see?
Wow.
Yeah. He's a big fan. But this was her first time back from being a stint, because I think J-Lo was in there. We still haven't seen that show yet.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. We are all asking, Tina and I, everyone in this room, there are about 50 of us in here. We're all asking you to come to J-Lo, see? So those of you watching who are responsible for tickets, you know who you are. We still need our invitation. Thank you very much. So we haven't seen that one yet. So he went to Britney Spears. I went to see Cinderella. I was a little more civilized over the Valentine's. So Nevada Ballet put on Cinderella at the Smith Center. What an amazing production. That's my niece, aww, Gabby. So I gave that to her as her Christmas present. I gave her a cute little purse, and inside the purse, I gave her tickets. That's her friend Ava. They came with us, and they gave roses out and a lot of chocolate. Oh, yeah, that's roses for you definitely... Valentine's Day. But yeah, they gave us roses, and they gave us I probably like 20 pounds of Ethel M chocolate in the box seats at the Smith Center.
I love
so
Ethel M.
Someone, I do too. And I think we ate all the boxes. I think we overloaded on chocolate that night, but it was a beautiful production. You know, they actually had this carriage come out that they had painted. I mean, they spent a lot of money on this show. And it was absolutely beautifully done. I don't know if you've seen Nevada Ballet at the Smith Center, if you've done the Nutcracker.
I saw the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
And little trivia, I started out as a ballerina. I was in the Nutcracker.
You were?
Years ago. Not here, obviously.
Not here in Vegas.
But in Texas.
But, yeah, okay. See? Yeah. So you have, I mean, the Nutcracker obviously is a staple for Vegas, and they do it every year, but they have been doing a bunch of sort of old stories set to music. So they did, I think they're doing Romeo and Juliet. I'm giving the plug out for Nevada Ballet Theater, not even paying for this. They are doing May. They're doing Romeo and Juliet. So they're doing two shows at the Smith Center. So worth checking out. Also, this weekend actually marked the end of a 34-year run for Jubilee. And part of the reason we have Tina on here, for many reasons. Tina's a famed performer here in Vegas, has been here for over 30 years doing shows. She came here for Jubilee.
Absolutely.
Jubilee had its lights go down on Thursday.
Thursday
night.
Yeah.
And you've been partying ever since with the cast, have you?
Since Tuesday on.
This rum is about the 40th rum you've had.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a good party.
We had a sold-out crowd, second show Thursday night.
Yeah.
And everywhere I turned, I knew somebody.
Yeah.
It was, somebody said it was like speed dating.
Oh, yeah?
When you saw somebody. Oh, hi. Oh, my gosh, you look great.
I knew you
when. And it was like, that was it. Speed dating.
How many, of the cast members that are in the show today, how many have been there at least a decade, you think? Like, most of the performers have been in there for a while?
Oh, well, I did 9 years.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
so
you did almost
there
10
were
years.
Some that did 20 years.
Okay.
One of my best friends, Sally Mitling, did Hallelujah Hollywood and Jubilee, and it was 20-year span. Some of them have been there, obviously, longer than 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, and for a performer, I mean, the aspect of Jubilee we were looking this up, and part of everyone's homework, because we do live chat here, and I'm just reading the chats that are coming through as we're talking. I'm going to put it out there, and we'll announce this later. What do you think the longest running show ever has been? And Tina's been in two of them. Mm-hmm. Will it be Cats? Will it be Chicago? Will it be Phantom of the Opera? Or will it be Jubilee? Write those in here. You might get a present if you write in here. I'm going to be reading and scanning our little chat room over here. So we're going back. So closing night. And I know I saw a lot of the pictures of people who were there. I saw, Katz. John Katz was there.
Yes.
You know, from the Review Journal. And he is, you know, he's our neighbor, actually. He lives in our building. He's awesome. But I know for him, you know, representing sort of that beat and that conversation, you know, there was so much buzz around the last show and everything around why it's closing and what, why does it have to end? What do you think is the reason sort of, not the reason behind this closing, but what do you think is the end and what kind of stamp does that put on, you know, Vegas for that being the last sort of that of its kind to do that show?
I don't know why it closed. Yeah. I don't know why they changed the show.
Yeah.
From its, they wanted to update it. I don't know. I don't have that answer, but I do know that Vegas in the last 30 years has been a chameleon. It always keeps changing.
Yeah.
You know, there are seasons where it's everybody is a magician.
Yep.
Or it's headliners or it's Cirque shows, you know?
Right.
And it just keeps evolving. When you think that you know Vegas, it changes.
Right.
I think that that's part of it. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I believe that we need to keep some of our heritage, you know, that at least we know where we came from.
Right.
Other than the Las Vegas sign out there on Las Vegas Boulevard that just keeps on expanding the parking lot.
Right.
I don't know. It's a shame because it was an extraordinary show.
Yeah.
And I was very, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm sure there's a lot of us that had such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Working with such an iconic show.
Right. Well, I think let's show some pictures. Let's get right into that aspect of the stint that you were there. So you were there for about 9 or 10 years.
I was there in 85 through 94.
Awesome.
That was the Vienna Woods. That was part of the original show.
Yep.
I sang an aria. That was part of the Titanic.
Yes. The sinking of the Titanic.
That was when I was a chorus singer.
Okay.
So that was very early. And that's Gershwin.
Okay.
Again, and that was, I was doing, I was called in to do some dancing for special events. That I think was for the Gathering of the Eagles. A lot of us were, we would do convention work. And that was, I was hired as a dancer.
Okay.
Did the Tiller Line. That was principal.
Okay.
Finale. And that was opening. That was probably one of my first performances.
Wow.
Oh, and my gosh. And that was Samson and Delilah.
Yeah, yes. That's a very famous scene in Jubilee, the Samson and Delilah number. That, and now that obviously, as if people, when people are watching, this is sort of, Jubilee is definitely an homage to Ziegfeld Follies.
Absolutely.
If you ever watched Funny Girl, that's the one movie we all know with Barbara Streisand, and she was a Ziegfeld girl, and she didn't think she was pretty enough to be a Ziegfeld girl. And you all remember the scene, if you remember the movie where she's doing the beautiful reflection of my love's affection. And she turns and she reveals that she's pregnant because she couldn't take herself seriously. That's really what the show represented. It was not taking herself too seriously in those moments where the Titanic sinks. I mean, come on. But it's very theatrical.
Very.
And the amount of stagehands that it took to put that together.
Oh, I think when I was, when I started, there was about 120 in the cast.
Yep.
And probably at least 80 to 100 crew members.
Yeah.
Or including.
There was almost one to every one of you. Yeah.
And that may be, I mean, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But it was enormous. It was probably the biggest show I've ever performed at that time.
Yeah.
And it was called the Ziegfeld Theater.
Yeah.
It was an extraordinary time because the mid 80s, they had the banquet tables with the white tablecloths, with the flowers on every table. Everybody dressed up, including us. We could not go into the casino without us being dressed. The way I'm dressed with blue jeans would not be appropriate.
Yeah, well, I do love your love shirt. It's very nice. I love it.
Thank you. That was my little homage to
It's beautiful.
Valentine's Day.
But people dressed, I mean, it was a time where people took that part of the night out. You know, and it's sort of a lost art today. And I think people really do, you know, I hate going and seeing like Celine's show or, you know, you go see a concert, like a Barbra Streisand concert, people are not dressed up and they're walking out in the middle of the show. I'm like, where are you going?
Yeah.
You can sit through a 3-hour movie, but they can't sit, you know, through the show. I mean, they're walking around, they're doing stuff. It just drives me crazy. But
I agree.
Yeah, that era of show going isn't really there.
No. And we used to have a star-studded audience.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember Cary Grant and Prince Rainier in the King's Row booth.
Oh, wow.
Many times. Prince Rainier with his whole family there. Sammy Davis, mm-hmm. Right next to us in the theater, Celebrity Theater,
yeah.
Was Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis, Dean Martin, George Carlin, Engelbert Humperdinck, Tom Jones. I mean, the list went on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And Liza Minnelli, when she would come in, she would do, I don't know, a 1 o'clock show for all of us gypsies.
Yeah.
And she would do it free for
yes.
all of us.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. She'd do that show. She did that at the Luxor not too long ago. She,
yeah.
Back in the day, they brought it in for the nighttime show.
Yeah.
They called it the Gypsy Show.
It was exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
So for, I mean, that and back in the day, just so you know, the Bally's was MGM.
Yes.
Right there.
When
before.
I started, it was MGM. We had the lion. We had a little homage to the lion, and the curtain would go up, and the lion would be there, and we're going, you know, hello, Leo, rah. Sometimes
MGM
his
girls.
Back would beat. You would see his tail. Sometimes he'd be laying there. And one time he just roared. It scared us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But see, that is what Vegas is. And I think, you know, we were talking on the phone a little bit last night about Vegas and about shows and about sort of the progression and where it's coming back to. I mean, the production shows have their place,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, these smaller theaters like the Matt Goss Theater and different theaters where people actually, you know their audience and get to know their audience in that intimate way. I mean, that's what Jubilee did for being a large production show.
Yes.
And you know it's a production show by the end. That finale still, and I didn't get to see it for a number of years, but the finale, I mean, what an amazing moment. They just keep coming down, showgirl after showgirl, just keep coming down a staircase that you don't think ends.
No, it's a Bob
incredible.
Mackie wow factor.
Yeah, it is. Oh, I think I read somewhere that back when it first opened, there was a shortage of rhinestones because Jubilee took them all.
Probably.
There was literally a shortage of all rhinestones. So
they were Swarovski.
Yeah.
Crystals.
They're real thing.
They're beautiful.
Do you think, so I know years before, and you probably know this, that when we had the Liberace Museum and they had the sort of the show that happened there at the museum, some nights they had a night with Philip Fortenberry and
yes.
and Keith Thompson, and they closed that. But I feel like there is this budding, you know, Vegas doesn't have a lot of museums. And there's this budding need for what, I mean, you have the neon graveyard, so to speak, out there for the neon signage. But you're going to have all these displaced costumes.
I know.
And old video, and what you're talking about, those iconic celebrities that came to see the show and back footage of that. I mean, there is a whole budding Vegas, you know, museum out there. I mean, we have the Mob Museum and a couple other things that probably show some of these nights out on the town. But nothing really like on the history of production, you know, Lido de Paris to, you know, to Folies Bergère to, you know.
Well, when I was here, it was Moulin Rouge.
Oh, go ahead.
There was Moulin Rouge.
Yes.
Lido, the Follies, Jubilee, Fire and Ice.
Fire and Ice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was just a plethora of shows like that. And then all of a sudden it was dwindling down and they're lonely. You know, the one left is Jubilee.
Right.
And
because Follies closed about probably 7-8 years ago. Maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
Something like that.
When the Tropicana sort of changed. We actually have a question.
Oh, wow.
We have a chat question from Danny. Danny's asking, what is happening to all the costumes? I could sell those on eBay. So just so you have a backstory on Danny Ackerman, she hosts a show called Niche to Profit. She teaches viewers how to sell things on eBay.
Lovely.
Don't contact Caesars. They probably will sell them for bankruptcy. Don't sell though. Don't sell those costumes. They are iconic pieces.
I'm sure they're going to hold on to those costumes.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they're going to put them.
There's a tremendous value.
Absolutely.
In Bob Mackie costumes and
they're stunning. And by the way, Bob Mackie was there for
was
the
he
final
there?
Show.
Oh.
He was. It was fantastic.
Do you know they did a show? They did from 2008 onwards. They did a backstage tour. It was like $25. I think you could go backstage and see all of this stuff.
I took it Thursday.
Did you? You
I
took,
did.
Oh
I
my
did.
Gosh.
I took the tour. It was so much fun.
Is it true there? I haven't been backstage. Is it true they have you have to go up through a lot of stairs for your dressing rooms?
Yes.
They still have that?
Yes.
Gotcha.
They have all, you know, two flights down.
That's how they work on their legs.
It was Stairmaster all the way. I can remember we counted, it was 1,500 steps a night.
Before you got on stage? Or when
the end
you,
of the
everything?
Night, 1,500 steps.
And you don't ever need to go to the gym.
No.
Wow.
No. Well,
that was amazing.
We would warm up. We would stretch. We would do that before the show.
Yeah.
But it was 50. There were like one piece in Samson. I would have to walk 100 steps up over the audience to come out of, it was pillows. So you'd come out of the ceiling.
Sure.
To sing a little bit there and come back and 100 steps down. Just for one little ditty.
Wow. That's a workout.
Yes.
Even for, I mean,
And the boy dancers, 3,000 steps. They did twice as much.
They have good glutes, you know. That's good.
So you could eat anything.
I should
have
been in one of these shows. I don't know if it's tall enough, but and so it definitely wasn't thin enough. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
So the camaraderie of the cast. So you've been partying for the last few days with the cast.
Yes.
Of generations.
You know, like
of
I said, Thursday night.
I want to hear about those.
Well, there's a group of us that got together on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we went on the tour, the backstage tour.
Wow.
And then Thursday night, like I said, was like, you know, speed dating, you know, and trying to say hello to everybody. I mean, think about it. Sold out. I don't know what the house seats maybe.
Things are on 1,200 at Jubilee.
So, you know, everybody's.
Probably people sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's. We were, where were we? We went down to the link. We were at the Yard House. We
go,
you know, get together. And there's, you know, it's just never enough time to see everybody and to catch up after so many years. I've been gone, I don't know, 20 years or more. I don't know, 22. I don't know. I've lost count.
So Jubilee, as we were talking before the show too, Jubilee was always the brightest spot for me to see when we did Golden Rainbow every year. Because House Seats were a part of the production show. And, you know, I love seeing Ribbon of Life every June, and Jubilee always does. Basically, it's a Ribbon of Life is a variety show for all of those who are watching. A lot of the strip performers do different numbers than their show. They choreograph something different for everyone, and Jubilee is always the star of the Ribbon of Life. And why is that, as you told me?
Because it was created by a principal singer by the name of Bree Burgess.
Okay.
And Todd, forgive me. Somebody's going to correct me on this. I forgot his last name. The two of them created Golden Rainbow.
Yeah.
And it was because Bree went to visit a friend that was in the show.
Yeah.
That had to leave and was suffering from AIDS.
Yeah.
And she thought it was something that she'd never want to see anybody without any help or anything like that. She felt really strong about creating this Golden Rainbow Foundation. And so we started with Jubilee.
Yes.
We were the first cast to perform. And I think there's even footage. I wanted to mention Fleur Flaco because she was our company manager.
Yes.
That was one of the main reasons probably why all of us wanted to come back is to show our respect to Fleur, you know, because she was an amazing lady.
Yeah.
She was the
Iron
Maiden.
She was a performer herself before.
Movie star.
Yeah.
Looks beautiful, beautiful lady, but tough lady. I was, when I first moved
But you
there,
probably knew where you stood with her in that sense. When somebody was
absolutely.
That, you absolutely knew.
You never wanted to, you know, cross her path. You wanted to make sure you did exactly what she, you know, if she told you you needed to do this, okay, fine. No
but
problem.
A perfectionist, and in the show, that really stood out. I think that I probably saw it maybe about a handful of times, and every time I saw it, it was always perfection.
I think it had a lot to do
everything
with,
about
obviously
it.
Obviously, it had to be because of her.
Yeah.
Because she made sure that everything was
just
addressed.
So. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, definitely. And all of those who knew her and were part of the show the years that she was basically, she started the show with Don Arden too? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I auditioned for Don Arden.
Yeah.
I always say that my friend John Stone was the reason why I came to town. He called me up from Dallas and said, oh my gosh, you've got to come here. There's an opening. You need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to this audition. There's like 300-400 people in the showroom. I hear somebody over the microphone. Okay, next. You know, did you not read the ad 5'8 or above? Go down and audition for Fire and Ice. Or he would say, honey, you've got a beautiful voice, but come back when you've lost 20 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it would just get, and I thought, what am I doing here? Oh my gosh.
That's hysterical.
And Don Arden is the reason why I stayed.
Yeah.
Because I, after they hired me, this is, I signed a 10-month contract because when I came in, I think I told you the story yesterday. Yeah.
Coming to Vegas for a short time.
I came in to audition, but I told my friend John, I said, I'm in the middle of callbacks for a Chorus Line, and I don't know if I've made it or not. And he said, you need to do this. And I thought, you get a paycheck every week with benefits. I went, I'm there. So I auditioned, and it was a 2-day audition. I don't remember what I sang because I was just mortified about what he said. Yeah. John Arden said to the singer right before me. It was a very nice, well-dressed man. And he was so nervous. He was shaking.
Yeah.
And he was singing. And there was nothing on stage except the microphone in the stand.
Yeah.
And he stopped him and he said, look behind you. What do you see? And he goes, nothing. And that's all you'll ever see. Get off my stage.
Oh.
And I went, oh. And he goes, next. And I went,
you probably forgot your name at this point.
I don't remember what I sang. But it was enough for him to go, I see you're a dancer. Go get dressed for dancing. We'll see you later. So I came back. I got my clothes on to dance. And I thought maybe somebody would be there to show me some choreography. And he sat down. And he goes, okay, dance for me. And I went, he goes, entertain me. And I went,
are you kidding?
Not kidding. Dance for me. I'm not kidding. Entertain me. I went, okay. And I thought, I've been doing the A Chorus Line auditions. I'll just do the opening and I'll do the ballet combination. He goes, right. Mm-hmm. I did that. And he goes, right. Come back with an aria tomorrow day. And I went, okay. And I ran to Music Center down on Sierra and I looked for an aria. And sure enough, after I got hired, Fluff sat me down in the showroom and said, we'd like to hire you. Can you be here next week? And I said, I can't. And this is what I call the poker face.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, why can't you be here next week? Because I'm doing a musical this summer. What is it? Chorus Line. What are you playing? Cassie. When will you be available? And I thought, okay, in my head, they were going to extend it a week and it was going to be done by Labor Day. And I said, won't be available till September after Labor Day. And I kept saying in my head, please don't make me out to be a liar. And so she said, she looked down at the contract and she goes, okay, we'll hold your position for 2 months.
Wow.
I went back. I flew back to Dallas. Yeah. And there was a message that said that I had callbacks the next day. I went, okay.
Yep.
And sure enough, I got Cassie in A Chorus Line. I didn't lie.
Yeah.
And
the universe responded.
That certainly did.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a gamble.
That was a gamble. That was my first gamble.
And that kept you here in Vegas, didn't it?
And the second gamble was a 10-month contract. I'm young. I'm thinking, I'm close to California. I'll move to California. So I re-auditioned for my job. That was one thing we had to do.
Yeah.
Every six months, we had to re-audition for our job.
Yeah.
So I got ready 5 months before. I've got my outfit picked out. I've been working with voice lessons. I've got everything. I thought, I'm going to audition for a principal.
Yeah.
So I did that, and Fluff came down to the front. She goes, if you don't get principal, are you going to give up your chorus position? I said, yes. She goes, okay.
Wow.
So I did my thing. Later on, Don Arden calls me down and goes, okay, here's the thing. None of the principals are leaving, and they have done nothing wrong, so I can't let any of them go. What can we do to keep you here? And he turns to Bill DeAngelis, who's the vice president of entertainment. Can we do something for her? He goes, what can we do? And he goes, more money? And I said, well, that's a start. And he says, what else? And I looked at Fluff. I said, first understudy, and then what else? I said, oh, there's this business theater thing that's happening, and that's what I used to do. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do that. And that's how I negotiated my contract. They gave me a principal contract and I stayed in the chorus position. I went, wow.
Any performers out there that need to learn from Tina on how to get a job. You know what? Because it reminded me when you started talking about how Don Arden was out there saying what he says. I mean, you watch those old movies again, back to Funny Girl, where Ziegfeld's out there and Barbara Streisand yells back like, what's your name? Ziegfeld? But she talks back to him. I don't even know what she says, but it's like he comes down from the rafters, you know, and it's just the image of like, what did I do?
Yes.
But that's quite a gamble.
Yeah. Well, I was young and I thought, you know,
you have nothing to lose.
I had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I thought, it's okay. I'll go back and do what I've been doing. Or, but it was Don Auden that said, yeah. What can I do to keep you here?
Yeah.
So he's responsible for me staying here.
Oh my gosh. And an amazing track Tina has had. I mean, we have a few minutes left. I told you we were going to talk a lot about Jubilee, and I definitely want to have you back on the show. But that led to EFX with both David Cassidy.
And Michael.
Michael Crawford.
I opened with Michael.
At MGM Grand.
I didn't do David Cassidy.
Gotcha. You didn't do David. Neither did we.
I didn't know.
So that's okay.
Tommy Tune and Rick Springfield.
Okay, very good.
Then I left a month early and did Mamma Mia.
Yeah, so Mamma Mia opened in Mandalay Bay, and you played Donna.
I played Donna,
and she sang her ass out of those awesome ABBA songs.
I was
raised on ABBA songs.
Really?
My dad, literally, every drive, every trip to Utah or California, because I'm from here.
Okay.
And we would drive, and he would be playing ABBA. I mean, I know every song. Winner Takes It All. It was
Winner
one of my favorite songs. And that's
all.
One of your big songs in Mamma Mia
that
Donna sings. That's absolutely incredible. And your co-cast, amazing women too.
Carol
that show was
Jen,
so fun.
That's the original.
She's a trip.
She is a trip.
Oh my gosh.
Both of them are so talented.
Costumes were amazing.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Wearing platforms. And,
now.
I did 4.5 years with Phantom, the Las Vegas Spectacular.
At the Venetian. What an amazing showroom.
Oh, beautiful showroom.
That showroom still, I mean, they're putting other headliners in there, but we're still in there. We saw a show there over the holidays, and the chandelier is still there.
Yeah,
I mean,
Maria's still there.
It's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
That's what the chandelier is called?
Maria.
Oh, yeah.
Named after the designer. Yeah.
Aha moments happening here.
That was Morgana from EF. That's EFX, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
But I just came off of the world tour of A Phantom of the Opera.
Yep.
It was an international company. There's like 5 Americans in a cast of 80. And I just came back from Beijing. So, been everywhere, like 8 countries, 10 cities. Been really
You've been
thrilling.
Everywhere. And so she just got to that question that we asked earlier for those of you listening and those of you paying attention. She is in the longest running show right now on Broadway is Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
And it's in touring and it's everywhere. It's such a wonderful show. That was the first Broadway show I ever saw.
Oh, wow.
I saw it in L.A. with my aunt who took us there.
She saw it in L.A.
We saw it with Davis Gaines as the Phantom.
I did too.
I loved it.
He was so wonderful.
He was
wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
We did the whole hoopla. My aunt, she loved Broadway. We then saw many shows in New York together, but that was the first one she took all of us to. We stayed at the Biltmore downtown LA. We took a limo to dinner and then went to Phantom of the Opera. There was probably about 8 of us, all of my cousins. And my cousin, Kaydan, used to sing Phantom of the Opera on Saturday evenings when everyone else that was older was gone and having fun. So we were making milkshakes and singing Phantom of the Opera at the top of our lungs.
I played Madame Giry.
You played Madame Giry.
Mm-hmm. Here I have a note.
Yes, that's the famous song. I have a note. You played that here in Vegas. You've been on tour with that. And so to give away the last part of the question, the longest running show ever, I'm looking this up, is Jubilee.
Oh my goodness. I didn't even think about that. I've been
Cats,
in 2 of the longest running shows.
Yeah, that's Cats, Phantom, Chicago Revival, they're all out for, 20 something years, but not hitting that 34 year mark that Jubilee has done in Las Vegas. That's why it's sad to me.
It is sad.
To feel that anything would change, because I know Jubilee has been around as long as I was a kid. And I think, for us, even on house seats and what we do, we very rarely needed to fill the house for Jubilee. And that to me speaks volumes as to why it still has merit in this town. And why what it has done will still have a huge lasting effect on shows to come, because there'll be elements, brought back in from that show for the rest of the shows. I mean, Matt has showgirls in his show. Nothing to the gravity and to the weight of the pieces in Jubilee, but somebody's going to bring that back as an element to the show.
I hope so.
Because it has to be done, so.
It has to.
Tina, as your shirt says, I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to pop some champagne because it is Valentine's Day. And I think we're rummed out. So we're going to have some champagne. I had a little trouble earlier this week getting this off. Well, actually, no, I didn't have any trouble getting off. But no, I mean, I had trouble. It popped far across the room because of the heat. So I got to be really careful. I don't take a light out or an eye out because I almost, no lights. Guys. Producer Scott says, please no. I'll take away from my computer in case it. Oh! This is for Tina. you go. This is for Jubilee and for Fluff LeCoq and all of the amazing, and for Don Arden and for Bob Mackie and for Vegas as
and
a whole.
Pete Menefee.
To you. Thank you for being on. See you next week. Woohoo!